Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Pastor said I have to be done by 9, so Matthew chapter 20. My title tonight is just simply Imitator. What is an imitator? You know, teaching Great Commission living is the greatest one thing we can teach at OCA. Not conformed, but to be transformed by renewing of our mind. Matthew chapter 20, let's start in verse 26. Stand if you would, you've been sitting a while. Give you a chance to stand and jump up and down. You can jump up and down anytime I'm preaching. Again, I'm from West Virginia, so. All right, let's start in verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You may be seated. You know, as the Bible states, and as you all know, the world is waxing worse and worse. You know, if we are going to be faithful Christians, then we must be encouraging one another to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when my children were young, they liked to play like they were other people. They wanted to imitate others. A lot of times my sons would try to dress and act like me, and they learn better as they get older. But they may wear the same clothes that look like mine. They also like to play like they were characters from movies, maybe Woody on Toy Story. Or that they were, you know, even try to be a cowboy or something like that. You know, a disciple is taught to mimic another. One who imitates someone, or just simply a follower. Not only is the greatest thing we can teach at OCA, but also the greatest thing we can teach or learn individually. In a church service tonight, the thought is, you know, at OCA, what do we want to produce? We want to produce people that live the Great Commission. We want to produce people that are not only saved, but set apart for the calling of God, to build a relationship with Him. But you know what? That's really our duty and our responsibility sitting here tonight in this church service, or any church service in America or the world, that we would live the Great Commission. If you are to be a true disciple, then you must follow Christ, the Master Servant. And let's pray as we start. God, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for this time, Lord. It is a great privilege to be able to stand and to preach Your Word. Thank You for Your Word, God. We pray that You would tonight just challenge us and stir us. God, that You would allow us to learn from Your Word. Lord, that You would hide me behind Your Word. Let others see the Lord Jesus Christ in this message. Lord, that we would be able to be more like Him, that we would imitate Him in our daily lives. God, that we would follow the examples that You have placed in our path, that we would be, Lord, like our pastor, and Dr. Bloom. And being like them, Lord, we would be like you. God, we pray that you would just use your Spirit to work in our hearts, convict us where necessary, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are to be a true disciple, then you must follow Christ, the Master Servant. To be a true follower of Christ, you must be a compassionate servant that calls out others or witnesses. Now let's look at these three qualities in Matthew chapter 20. The first and most significant quality needed in the life of a disciple is the ability to be a servant. If you are a disciple, then you will be a servant. As we read here in verse 26 through 28. You know, but to minister was the theme of my youth group at one point when I was a youth pastor. The thought of teaching young people to minister to others. What is a minister? It is a servant. Someone that is willing to serve other people. Learning to be a servant. You know, instead of being selfish by living for ourselves, try serving other people. Maybe your spouse, friends, parents, church members, or in OCA's case, students, parents, staff, that we are servants for the Lord Jesus Christ to others. Christ, who is God, taught us to be humble and to serve. Can you imagine? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come down to this earth in human form to live a perfect, sinless life so that He could take our place at Calvary. So that because of our sin, He came and died and shed His blood so that we can have forgiveness. So that He took care of that payment of our sin so that we can be like Him, so that we can know Him. But yet when He was here, He was a servant to others. But what a great example to us that we think about the God of the universe coming down in the form of man, the Son of God, to serve us. And we don't want to serve others many times. We're too busy trying to please ourselves or to serve ourselves. You know, it says here, great equals minister and chief equals servant. Instead of us trying to be the master, instead of us trying to be chief over everyone else, that we would have a spirit to meet the needs of others. It doesn't matter what our status is. It doesn't matter at times what our job is. How can we help the needs of those around us? How can we serve them? In the home. I'm not supposed to go there. This is a Christian school. You know, in the home, what is our problem most of the times? Where do our fights and arguments come from? Is our conflict with other people. Whether it's a spouse, whether it's our children, whether it's our parents, if you're a child. But if we learn to serve others and to meet their needs, instead of always wanting people to meet our needs, then really life becomes easier for us and we have joy in our life for doing what God wants us to do and to please Him. If you're a disciple, then you will be a servant. The next quality needed in the life of a disciple is not only the ability to be a servant, but to be truly compassionate. You know, a true disciple must follow Christ, the Master Servant. You know, if you are a disciple, then you will have compassion. Verse 34 says, so Jesus had compassion on them. You know, God gives you an example of compassion to follow. There are many verses of Scripture where it talks about that type of heart that we are to have. Psalm 86:15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Lamentations 3:22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Christ gives us an example of compassion to follow. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." Matthew 15:32. "Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." Jesus Christ, again, the Master's servant, was also the teacher of compassion. He wasn't one that said, you know, boss people around, that He served. But He also didn't say, "Hey, look at me, do it this way." But when He had to correct, He did it with compassion. He did it in a tender way, in a kind way. You know, we can get people to do anything, and even better so when we are kind. Whether it is a student or a family member, if we have a compassionate heart, a desire to want what's right, to please them, and to make peace, then people actually will listen to us better and will help us more. Scripture gives us examples of compassion to follow. The parable of the unjust steward, Matthew 18:27. "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." We are to show compassion to the saved, 1 Peter 3:8. "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And you're going to look at the one another passages of Scripture and how that we are to act and respond to other believers. How that we are to be compassionate. How that we are to be courteous and kind and an encourager to them. We're also to show our compassion to the unsaved. Jude 20 through 23 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and to some have compassion, making a difference." Are you making a difference in the lives of the people that you come in contact with? If it's just your family members, how about the people that you see in the community? How about the people you work with? At OCA, we want to make a difference in the lives of the students. And to do so, it takes compassion. It takes living peaceably with all men. Finding people where they are and taking them to where they need to be. It's not an overnight thing. Even when kids come in and they're unsaved and they get saved, they're not automatically right in every area after salvation. We have a sin nature that we must deal with, especially 7th and 8th graders. But we are to be a people that is loving and kind and gracious and working with others to get them where they need to be, no matter how long it takes, that we are patient with them. If you're to be a true disciple, then you must follow Christ, the Master's servant. Not only must you have the ability to be a servant and to be truly compassionate, but the last quality of a disciple of Christ is to call out others. If you're a disciple, then you will call out others, as we see here in the end of the chapter here, verse 32 through 34, to witness. to take the opportunities that God gives you to share the gospel with others. And even at times where we don't have an opportunity, but to create an opportunity, to find a way to break that ice or to talk to them about God. Whether you're buying hay for your farm, getting your car fixed, buying groceries, out and about in the community, at work with someone, find a way to get the gospel into the conversation. You know, we want to invite people to church. We want to get people to come and to be under the hearing of the Word of God and to be saved. But you know, it goes deeper than that. As a disciple, you have a responsibility to witness to people, to win people to the Lord, and then bring them into church so they can grow. You know, we all have, you know, the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to go out and make disciples. Now, we can't make disciples of someone until they are saved. So we have a responsibility and the great privilege to give the gospel to others so that we can lead people to the Lord. But we can't lead people to the Lord if we don't give the gospel. If we don't look for those opportunities that we have in our daily lives, in our sphere of influence, to touch and impact lives, or we don't create those opportunities through our conversations, through our actions, through our testimonies, then we cannot accomplish the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always be aware of others who have needs. Verse 30 says, Christ passed by. Verse 32, Christ stood still. And then at the end of 32, Christ called to them. He was aware of the people and their needs. Many times we're so busy going through life that we don't take time to see others. We only see ourselves, our own needs, our own concerns, our busy little life that we lead. But we need to be compassionate and to look for the needs, to be aware of others who have needs. Not only do we need to be aware, but always be active with others who have needs. Many are aware of the needs, and many even stand still and do nothing. Like in the story of the Good Samaritan. They saw him there. They made a point to get on the other side of the road even. Well, what are we doing when we run across those opportunities? Are we aware of them? Are we active? And then always give an answer to others who have needs. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, you know, be ready always to give an answer of that hope. Do we have a hope inside of us as believers tonight? I hope so. We have the hope of the blessed return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the hope to know that we can go to heaven. Because of the salvation we have, because the payment the Lord Jesus Christ shed blood that took away that penalty that we have of our sin. We have a hope inside of us that we need to be excited about, that we need to share with others wherever we go. Always act to help others who have needs. Christ acted. He did something to meet the needs. Christ touched them. Are you touching lives today? Not last week, last year, 10 years ago. Been there, done that. But are you still touching lives today? With your testimony, with your talents, with your abilities, in the sphere of influence that God has placed you in. Only the touch of the Master can heal. As a Christian, are you allowing Christ to work through you to touch and heal others who have needs? I'm going to read you a story here. Bear with me a moment. We're almost done. This is stated in a way that I can't really relive to you, so I'm going to read it to you. On a dangerous dark side street near the steel mill located between two taverns was a crude little storefront church building. Wooden folding chairs were set up, a crude pulpit constructed, and a few devoted members prayed constantly for the salvation of transient mill workers. With no thought for self or pleasure, the members went out visiting continually in every home, speaking to reach lost people for Jesus Christ. Many were converted, and when a notorious gambler was converted, the little mission became famous. Christians from surrounding areas commuted to the little church, giving their time, money, and effort. New pews were bought, and ushers were trained. Little Mission purchased the shop next door and doubled its auditorium size. Some of the new members were unhappy with the crude building and poor equipment. It was said in a congregational meeting, a man can better worship God in a comfortable pew in an air-conditioned auditorium. Matching furniture was donated when new pews were installed. The members decorated with tinted glass windows, adding Christian education facilities and a parking lot. The members lost interest in visitation, so they hired zealous preachers to do their work. A revival was held, and a man of God preached repentance. Perspiring mill hands were led to the Lord. And when high school greasers started attending regularly, the deacons complained, not wanting their daughters to be contaminated. Small kids brought by Sunday school buses did not have shoes or clean clothes. The Women's Missionary Union immediately installed a mill worker's closet so the needy could put on proper clothes. But the women were critical when the immaculately clean floors were muddied. At the next congregational meeting, some members wanted the pastor to quit evangelistic preaching, wanting a more dignified, reverent worship service. Other members insisted soul winning was the primary purpose of the church. They were finally voted down and told to go elsewhere. After all, mill workers like sensationalism, remarked a bank vice president. They rented a store building across the street and began services with only crude folding chairs and a small pulpit. As the years went by, the new mission experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old. It evolved into a religious club, and yet another soul-winning station was founded. History continued to repeat itself, and if you visit the mill section today, you will find a number of exclusive, sophisticated churches. Because of the neighborhood, none of those who attend the exclusive churches live there, but have moved to the better parts of the town. It was determined that not one of the mill workers in the neighborhood attended a single church in the area. Now, the last three words of Matthew 20 brings us back again to the main theme or proposition of this message. Look at those three last words in verse 34. It simply says, they followed Him. If you're to be a true disciple of Christ, then you must follow Him, the Master's servant. A true follower of Christ must be a compassionate, witnessing servant that touches lives and makes more disciples. If you're already practicing these qualities already, then follow God's commission to disciple others to be a true disciple as well. Multiplying disciples in your life and in this church. You must make a decision today. Either you will follow Christ, or you reject His leading, strength, and power, and commands to be a disciple. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we pray that You would just be with us here tonight. Lord, I pray that You would help us to examine our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we would put You first. That we would follow You as the Master Servant. God, that we would be compassionate in our dealings with others, and we would call out others and witness to them. Lord, I pray that You would help us as we're here tonight, that You would look at our hearts. Lord, that You would Help us to be convicted and challenged to live for You and to serve You. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, just a simple thought here tonight. Are you that true disciple? If not, then take this message as an encouragement to start implementing these three qualities in your life today with God's strength. Are you a servant to others or are you selfish? Are you compassionate to others or are you cold and calloused? Are you actively witnessing to others or are you apathetic or even afraid to witness because you don't know how to witness? Well, if that's the case, you can learn how. Come to Pastor and ask him to help you to be the witness that you should be and to teach you how to witness for Him. Father, we love You and thank You for all that You do. Lord, we pray that You would just use us this evening. In Christ's name, amen.